It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Welcome to this episode of Kennedy Saves the World. So many of you are either in monogamous relationships or you'd really like to be in a monogamous relationship. But we've heard a lot about polyamory as of late. And when I think of polyamory, I think of things like sister wives and arrangements in places in the outskirts of Utah and maybe, you know, the odd metropolitan throuple that you hear about, but polyamory has become more common lately as our mores shift and evolve as a society. So what exactly is it? And is polyamory for you? And is it really about having a buffet of partners? If so, are you ready to gorge on polyamory? Joining me now, Dr. Elizabeth Sheff. She is a sociologist who has dedicated her life to studying and understanding polyamory. She has 3 books that I know of thus far, including The Polyamorists Next Door, Inside Multiple Partner Relationships and Families, and even more intriguing, her 3rd book, When Someone You Love is Polyamorous, Understanding Poly People and Relationships. I really want to do that. I want to understand because I'm very curious about this topic, not from my personal perspective, because I don't think I have the energy for a polyamorous relationship, but it certainly is fascinating. Dr. Sheff, welcome to Kennedy Saves the World.
Thanks so much for having me.
So obviously there are preconceptions and maybe even misconceptions about polyamory, but as an academic, as a sociologist, as someone who studies the cold hard facts of these relationships, how would you describe polyamory?
Polyamory is a form of consensual non-monogamy that emphasizes emotional intimacy in relationships where people are free to be with multiple partners. It doesn't mean they always have multiple partners, but people of all genders can have multiple partners in polyamory. What makes it really different from polygamy, which is marriage of multiple partners, and that has almost always been polyandry, which is, I'm sorry,
polygamy. Bunch of chicks, yeah, it's like one dude, and yeah, but it's not polyandry, it's polygamy, yes, it's the gams, it's the gametes, it's the ladies, it's the gams, the dames with the gams.
Exactly.
It's so like one guy and a bunch of chicks. It's like Outnumbered on Fox News Channel, but in matrimony.
Exactly. So polyamory is really different from that in that it's not just one gender that gets multiple partners. It's anyone who's involved.
And how did you get into this subject? Like, when did it pique your interest to the point where you wanted to dedicate years and years and lots of energy to the subject?
I fell in love with someone who really wanted to be polyamorous, and it seriously freaked me out. I wondered if that meant that I was too fat or bad in bed. Was there something wrong with me that he needed multiple partners? And he kept saying, no, no, it's, you know, it's not you, it's whoever I would be with. I would always want multiple partners. And as an intellectual, I tend to intellectualize things that frighten me. So I studied it and have realized, yeah, doesn't work for me. But in the meantime, I've realized it works really well for some people. I would say the minority of people can have these really happy and fulfilling polyamorous relationships.
And what are the qualities that someone typically has that puts them in that category of being polyamorous beneficial?
You know, it's ironically, it's not just wanting multiple partners for themselves. That's really easy. A lot of people might want multiple partners. The huge difference with polyamory is being able to manage your emotions while your partners that you love are off with other people. That's the really hard part. And so for folks who can manage that kind of emotional response, those are the people who can really do polyamory well.
Okay, so I mean, I guess what I would compare to based on what you're saying is there are people who get a lot of energy when they go to a party. And the idea of meeting new people and having a bunch of different conversations and hearing the noise and the chatter and the glasses clinking together, that actually gives them energy. And then there are other people for whom that is very annoying and it drains their energy. So I guess like inverted people and extroverted people, introverts and versus extroverts. Is it kind of like that? Or do people who land in polyamory, do they have like past childhood trauma and this is a coping mechanism?
If they do have past childhood trauma that they haven't dealt with and they're trying to use multiple partner relationships as a coping mechanism, it's gonna be really bad because the multiple partner relationships are complex and require a lot of emotional maturity to do them well and some really strong self-soothing techniques to manage your emotions when your partner is off on a weekend trip to Mexico with someone else,
Yeah,
you know.
I mean, that would drive me crazy. That would drive a lot of people, you know,
Absolutely.
and that I don't know if I would not feel good self-soothing. I would be seething the entire week. And you know, it's like I know this is probably, and I'm not judging. Like I know there are people who can do it. There are people who can do a lot of things that I can't do. And I don't judge that at all. And I know that monogamy for a lot of people is a living hell, and they torture themselves and their partner trying to maintain relationships like that that feel even worse. So I get that. Did you ever try to be a polyamorist?
I have tried for 25 years and realized I am monogamous at heart. That when I'm not in love with someone, I can be with multiple people and I don't care if they're with other people. But when I'm in love, I am not interested in multiple partners. And I can allow, you can't see the air quotes. You know, because I'm saying allow, but I don't own these people. It's not up to me to allow them. But I can manage myself if they have other partners, as long as they really meet my needs well. I could be in what they call a mono-poly
So
relationship where I'm
you would be the
monogamous.
mono party and they would be the poly party.
Exactly.
But you can't be
And
in love. But is that, I mean, did you have like a realization? Did you have an aha moment where you realized
yeah.
like I am monogamous as the day is long?
Yes,
What happened?
I have. My wife really fell for someone else, and I was like, okay, this is really hard. This local person, she had had kind of more fleeting and superficial relationships before, and that was totally fine with me. But this time she was just head over heels for this person who was local.
Ew.
And I was like, okay, I'm going to try to distract myself while she's having what the polyamorous people call new relationship energy, which is where you get really excited about a new partner. So I was trying to manage that and was like, all right, I'm going to try to date other people so she can have this fun time and I'll be dating too. So I won't just be sitting around bummed out that she's blowing me off. And I just had no interest in dating anyone else, no interest whatsoever. And I looked back and realized that I had only ever been in multiple partner relationships when it was casual. And that as soon as I fell for someone, I just completely lost interest in my other partners and realized that I'm just going to stop trying to encourage myself to be polyamorous. It just doesn't work for me when I'm in love. My heart wants just one person. But that doesn't mean it can't work for other people. I know I've been studying polyamory since 1996. And
Back
some of.
before polyamory was cool.
Yes, absolutely. Some of the folks in my study, the longitudinal polyamorous family study, have been in multiple partner relationships for 60, 70
With
years.
the same people,
And
or do they swap in and out? Is it like, Red Rover, Red Rover, send your husband right over?
mostly the same core group with kind of more peripheral partners swapping in and out. But the most durable and lasting triad, which is a three-person relationship, I can think of multiple triads with one woman and two men
That's how you do
where
it. That's how you do it right
that
there,
is how you do
Elizabeth.
it if
That's
you want to
right.
do it long term,
Yeah.
absolutely. Because generally, she's like, two is enough for me. I don't need any more than two. And the men are then free to date other women. And sometimes they have very long-term partnerships. Sometimes it's more fleeting. Sometimes they only have a relationship with her. And those can last for decades and decades. The one man with two women seems much more fragile, almost always because he is much more insecure and doesn't want other men around. So he tries to put what they call the one penis policy, where
Want a one penis policy.
he can have multiple women, but the
Sure.
women can date each other, but not other
Yeah,
men.
you can have a wall full of outlets, but only one plug.
Exactly. And that just doesn't work for long-term relationship satisfaction because he's being insecure and not dealing with it. Whereas the one woman with two men, they don't have that same issue of trying to control what their partners do.
I didn't have that on my prom night. I was absolutely fine. All right, we got more of this interview after this.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Stay on top of the latest news and information from Fox News. Listen and download the Fox News Hourly Update on your time. The trending stories you need anytime you want it. Listen and download now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
So let me ask you this from an evolutionary biology perspective. Did we evolve to have monogamous relationships or polyamorous relationships? And is this cross-cultural?
Absolutely cross-cultural. Monogamy is a social construct. It's an idea. So it's certainly not something that we would evolve towards.
I disagree with that because there are plenty of species that are monogamous and they didn't choose it. Like sea otters don't choose to be monogamous. That's how they evolved. Same with doves. And there are plenty of species who mate with the same partner for life. So, I mean,
You sure thought that.
I think
Now that.
marriage is a social construct,
Absolutely.
but I,
But we
there.
also thought that pair bonding, which is what monogamy is an idea, pair bonding is what animals do when they only have one partner. That's called pair bonding. And we thought that animals did that until we had genetic testing. And now we realize hardly any animals do that. We made up this whole story about swans, for instance,
Oh, everyone
being
knows swans are the sluts of fowl.
bloody birds. Yes. So, from a human perspective, pair bonding, I would say, is not natural, if you can imagine my air quotes there. Because we have so many social rules about it. When something is natural to humans. We don't have to have a lot of rules around it because they just do it. But we have many, many rules around if you're gonna commit to one partner, then lots of rules about what characterizes that, social rules. And you don't have to, like, for instance, blinking your eyes is natural. We don't have a lot of social rules about how to blink and when to blink and what kind of blinking.
Unless we're blinking SOS on a date.
Right. Yes. Good point. But we have tons of rules about how to be monogamous and who should really be monogamous. Like the idea of monogamy is based really on women being monogamous with the expectation that men, boys will be boys, or that men kind of can't be monogamous, which is not true.
No, men can be monogamous, absolutely. And you know, it's like we learn in evolutionary biology that it's different for men and women because the parental investment is different. You know, for for like an early hominid species, the parental investment for a woman was minimum 4 years. For a man, it was 30 seconds. So obviously there's a much greater parental investment for women. It's not necessarily just subjugation. But I do agree there are a lot of rules. Do we have too many rules? Have we constrained ourselves into misery with our rules about monogamy versus polyamory?
I'm not sure if it's the rules that create the misery, but the very high expectations of monogamy. Now, we want our romantic partners to also be our best friend and the most exciting sex we've ever had and the amazing co-parent and a financial planner and a companion. You know, like our expectations of what we hope to get out of our romantic relationships have skyrocketed. People 200 years ago did not expect happiness from a marriage. Marriage wasn't for happiness. Marriage was to have a workmate, to have children, to keep family wealth, you know, directed towards male heirs and things like that. Now that we're expecting marriage to be all of these social things as well, I think that's the problem with monogamy, is that our expectations are way too high. Also, we live a lot longer now. 200 years ago, if you weren't happy in your marriage, one of you was going to die fairly young anyway.
Yeah, especially now, if you go on a cruise ship together.
Exactly. Now we're living into our, and continuing to have sex into our 80s and 90s.
Oh, I know. So I've seen some of the categories, Dr. Chef. It is wild what they're doing at the Villages.
Absolutely. So now if you're miserable at 40, you can expect another 50 years of misery before one of you dies. And that's just not what some people want to do. So we've had very high expectations of monogamy, much longer lifespans. We're also meeting far more people in a single lifetime than we used to.
Oh, that's interesting. Now, yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, think about it. The advent of not only social media, but the affordability of travel.
Right. The existence of airplanes.
Airplanes are
now
sexy.
You could go to Spain and meet that amazing European cutie that you never would have met under other circumstances.
So is polyamory better for men or better for women by and large?
You know, it's interesting. I'm seeing an age discrepancy at younger ages, like 50s and below. I would say it's better for women because there are more men looking for female partners, multiple female partners, than there are women available for that. That tends to flip once you're getting into the 60s and 70s, because men die earlier and men will often date women younger than them. So if a man is in his 60s, he might not be dating a woman in her 70s. He might be dating someone in her 40s, for instance. So women who want polyamory in their 70s and 80s are having to choose between fewer men. But a lot of the time, they're pretty psyched for it, actually. The older women are pretty excited about having a partner who has other partners because she doesn't have to babysit him the way some older men want to be coddled when they only have one partner. If he's got multiple partners, then she can pack him up and send him on his
Pack
way.
up his Depends and his Polident. Say
Exactly.
thanks for the memories. Go find some new memories. So you said that polyamory is cross-cultural. Where is it the most prevalent? In what culture is it the most prevalent?
Where women have control over their own money, education, and reproduction. That
So
means they can
Sweden?
choose their own partners. So that means North America, Western Europe, and Australia are the kind of centers of polyamory, where women can't choose their own partners, where it's men deciding that this 14-year-old girl should marry this 62-year-old dude. That's where you have polygyny instead. So multiple partner relationships are worldwide and across history, but it's almost always been wealthy and powerful men having multiple partners. Now, women with control over their own money, education, reproduction, partner choice can have multiple partners too, and that makes a big difference. And people of all sorts of genders, not just men and women.
And I remember reading about in cultural anthropology polyandry somewhere in the Himalayas. Is that still in effect?
Polyandry is super rare cross-culturally and historically, tends to only happen under some pretty specific circumstances. One, there's not enough land to go around, which might be the case in the Himalayas, where there are multiple sons in a family and they don't want to break up the land into tiny chunks, so each son gets one, but rather they keep the land together and all the sons marry one woman. The other way polyandry tends to happen is when there aren't enough women to go around. You've got a surplus of men and not enough women. So I'm thinking there could absolutely be a rise in polyandry in China because they've had this decades of one-child policy, not anymore, but we're seeing the social outcomes of that, a
Yeah, what do you
preference
think happens
for
when
children.
you kill all the baby girls or send them to be adopted to American families? You're not going to have
Right.
enough women. You're going to have
Exactly.
too many dudes. It's a pickle party.
It
So, yeah,
is.
that right there is why I'm a libertarian, Dr. Schaff. Okay, so if someone's going to read one of your books to familiarize themselves with your work, which one should it be?
I would say The Polyamorous Next Door is the easiest to access. Right now, I'm republishing When Someone You Love Is Polyamorous. My publisher took it out of print, and I'm republishing it myself. So it should come out later this year. If you're interested in children in polyamorous families, that's been the main focus of my research. And I've got a very short book on them right now called Children in Polyamorous Families, but I'll be coming out with the longer book, the more in-depth research findings, probably in 2026.
Did you fall in love again and are you in a monogamous relationship?
No, I'm heartbroken.
Oh,
I
Dr.
still have not.
Chef.
I know. I love my wife. I can't get over her. It's been 3 years.
Oh.
And I have not dated anyone, but if I ever get in another relationship, it's gonna be monogamous.
All right. Well, you are a smart, funny woman, and I know you're going to find the magical quality you are looking for in another person. And I wish you the best, and I thank you so much for this conversation. It has been fascinating.
Thanks for having me on.
Dr. Elizabeth Sheff, her last name spelled S-H-E-F-F. This has been Kennedy Saves the World. I'm Kennedy.
For more podcasts from my friends at Fox, you can go to foxnewspodcast.com. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. Oh, go ahead and leave me a review while you're there. I'd love to hear what you have to say. You've been listening to Kennedy Saves the World on the Fox News Podcast Network.
I'm Dana Perino. This week on Perino on Politics, I'm joined by founder and executive director of Power the Future, Daniel Turner, for a look at how we can advocate for a cleaner earth while strengthening U.S. energy independence. Available now on foxnewspodcast.com.